Yeah, I just pray, Lord, that you give us eyes to see and whatever, because we're going to get into some stuff here today that we all need to really press into the Lord, because I think he's going to really show us something today. So
I showed you something last week and the week before that.
There you go. All right. Well, that's good. That's a good God, isn't it? Okay, Jim, you want to get us started? Sure.
Father, the Apostle Paul said that, don't you know that you are manifestly declared to be the sons of God?
Yes, Lord.
Open up that word manifest, it means revealed. Don't you know that you're to be revealed as the sons of God to the world? So, Father, we're here this morning not just to hear the word, but to know the word.
Yes.
Yes.
There's a difference, Lord, in hearing the words of the Bible and knowing the Word that wrote the Bible. So we want to know the Word here this morning. Father, we want to become the Word made flesh, just like Jesus was.
Yes.
He was the Word that became flesh and walked amongst us. And Father, you're raising up a whole generation of people, of sons and daughters right now, that as they absorb this word in their heart, as they become to know you as the word, as the living word inside of their heart, they will then become, that word will become one with them. And then that scripture that Paul says, don't you know that you are manifestly revealed to be, declared to be the sons of God? There is coming a great manifestation of the sons and daughters of God in this earth, Father. We can just feel it in our bones, Lord. We can hear it in the new song that we're singing in our heart in this hour, Father, that something special is on the horizon, Father, and that special is the Word being made flesh in us, Jesus being revealed to a lost and dying world. So, Father, we thank you here this morning that as we listen to the scriptures here that we share, and we want to be made one with this Word, Father,
yes,
so that we can declare your glory, Father,
yes,
to a world that you desperately love and died for. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Before we get started, I just, you know, I don't know if this is prophetic. You know, when you get a dream, you don't know necessarily what that dream is all about. But I had a dream where Brother Oscar called me up and said, we have this meeting. And it wasn't at the church, it was somewhere else. But he and I walked in together and everybody was there, but there were all these other, it was a men's meeting, there was all these other men that most of them I didn't even know. And then all of a sudden there was just an eruption of praise and worship that was just unlike anything I'd ever heard in my life. And then he brought two people to me that I haven't seen in probably 40 years. One of them I've heard through my brother as a pastor, and the other one, I don't know anything about where he is, what he's doing, or anything. So I knew that I had to pray for those two people. I knew that. Even though I hadn't seen them in 40 years, I knew that I was supposed to pray for them. But the other thing was just like, it was like God had just multiplied, you know, the men of wings. All I can tell you is what I saw.
Praise the Lord.
You know, there's no, so whatever that is, take it for whatever it is, and we'll move forward.
Well, you said the old men will dream dreams.
Oh, yeah, I'm old.
The young men will see visions.
That must be why I've seen that vision the other day.
Oh, no. Yeah, right. So that
was Oscar a little baby carriage you were
bringing in? I was bringing him in, yeah. That was funny. But yeah, anyway, so I don't remember my dreams that much. So I just felt that, like, sharing it because it was something God remembered. So I'm just
Ask him to give you
the meaning.
Sure, yeah.
But there were these five, I think there were five, and that's the number of graves. There were these five, it almost makes me weep. five guys that I'd never seen before, and they just broke out in this worship, and it was so beautiful. It was so nice. Anyway,
you know, when you said that, some of them may still be on this side, some on the other side, and I believe that we enter a place of worship because it said when Bill Britton wrote the high praises of God, how the Jesus that we enter in and are one with Him, and that He was seeing Him as our brother, and we all worshiping together. And I believe we come into a place that we are worshiping with this cloud witness about us.
Yes.
So some of those may have already crossed over.
Could have been.
And y'all, as you look to God, I just really feel like He's going to really show you something like that.
Yeah, it was special. I knew that. So we'll see what the Lord does with it. And if He doesn't do anything, it was a wonderful experience. Praise God for the dream, you know. So.
Just wait on the interpretation. Just wait on the interpretation.
I don't know. Okay. I just pray that right now, because like any other teacher, there's a lot that I don't know. But I just felt the Lord saying, let's go down this trail. And so it's going to be a trail that's going to be interesting because we all need to just, whatever the Lord gives you today, you know, just bring it forth, because I really felt that the voice of many waters will come forth today. And so it's not going to come from me. It's going to come from the Lord through all of us. So, okay, so I can't give up this cherubim thing. The Lord just wanted me to stick on that for a little bit. We talked just briefly about it last week, but we're going to talk a lot more detail now. I mean, there's so much. Just for kicks, I went to the internet and just looked at commentary. And it's not what I really felt. The direction that the Lord wanted us to take today, you know? I mean, and I'll share some of them, because I'm not saying that it's wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong, but I'm saying there's a whole heck of a lot more than what I read. A whole heck of a lot more, and I think it's going to come out today. But anyway, cherubim, an uncertain derivation of a cherub or imaginary figure, a being of sublime and celestial nature. First of all, you know, the commentary says a cherubim is a heavenly being who serves God. I mean, I don't have a problem with that, but it's just so much more. But it's, you know, Oscar's always said it's an imaginary figure. Okay, so you got to keep that in the forefront of your mind as you go through this. And then this really helps to kind of bring it out a little more. A being of sublime and celestial nature, in figure compounded of that of a man, ox, lion, and an eagle, which symbolizes power and wisdom. And of course, we're talking about the mercy seat. We're talking about, you know, how the cherubim were on the mercy seat, facing each other, touching, and over top of the mercy seat. So. It was wood overlaid, shittim wood, was it shittim wood? Yeah, shittim wood overlaid with gold. And we talked about the cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden with the flaming sword, turning every way to keep the way of the tree of life, which we talked about that. Mm-hmm. But then now, Lord, of course, had to take me to Ezekiel and Revelation on this, because that's where you have those that living creature, that living thing that has four heads. And just bear with me on this, because I'm going to bring it back to where we can discuss it. So at the beginning of Ezekiel 10, don't get too caught up with it. I just want to give you the background. We're not going to talk very much about the beginning, but I think having the whole background might give more revelation to us as far as what these, you know, heads mean. Mm-hmm. And I took this out of the expanded. It's the wheels and the creatures, okay? I'm going to start with verse 8. Something that looked like a human hand could be seen under the wings of the living creatures, the cherubim.
Where are you reading that from?
This is Ezekiel 10.
Is that what version?
This is the expanded.
Okay.
Expanded version. So something that looked like a human hand could be seen under the wings of the living creatures, the cherubim. I saw, looked, and beheld the four wheels by the living creatures. Now, we can do a whole Bible study on the four wheels. We're not going there right now. One wheel by each living creature, each cherubim. Okay, kind of getting the picture there, even though this is a spiritual thing, it's not a natural thing. So the wheels look like shining crystallite or topaz or beryl. All four wheels looked alike. Each looked like a wheel, crossways inside in the middle of another wheel. So a wheel within a wheel. Mm-hmm. Okay? And again, we could do a whole Bible study. We could probably spend a whole month on that. But when the wheels moved, they went in any direction. They went in any of the directions that the four living creatures faced. Okay? Cherubim. Every time the living creatures, that's the cherubim. The wheels did not turn about, and the living creatures, the cherubim, did not turn their bodies as they went. All their bodies, their backs, their hands, their wings, and the wheels were full of eyes all over. Each of the four living creatures had a wheel. I heard the wheels being called whirling wheels or wheelwork. Each living creature, one had four faces. The first face was the face of a creature with wings, a cherub. And the second face was a human, man's face. The third was the face of a lion, and the fourth was the face of an eagle. Okay, don't get caught up on that yet, because I'm going to bring that back down a little bit later. Then the living creatures, the cherubim, flew, mounted, rose up. They were the same living creatures I had seen by Chabar, which Chabar means far off, and the root is extent of time. The Chabar River, which was like a canal over in Babylon, wasn't it?
Babylon.
Okay. When the living creatures, the cherubim, moved, the wheels moved beside them. When the living creatures lifted their wings to fly up from the ground, the wheels did not leave their place beside them. When the living creatures, cherubim, stopped, the wheels stopped. When the creatures went up, the wheels all went up also, because the spirit of the living creature was the wheels, in the wheels. Okay? Then the glory of the Lord, his manifest presence, left the door threshold of the temple and stood over the living creatures, the cherubim. As I watched before my eyes, the living creatures, the cherubim, spread their wings and flew up from the ground, the earth, with the wheels beside them. They stood where the east gate of the temple, we talked about the significance of east, of the Lord opened, and the glory of God, of the God of Israel, was over them. These were the living creatures I had seen under the God of Israel by the Chabar River. I knew they were called cherubim. Each one had four faces and four wings, and under their wings were things that looked like human hands. Their faces looked the same as the ones I had seen in by the Chabar River. They each went straight ahead. Now here we go. The four faces represent, this is what this commentary says. We're going to get into a lot deeper. The four faces, this is a natural description. The four faces represent the four domains of God, of the God's rule. The man represents humanity. The lion represents wild animals. The ox represents domesticated animals. And the eagles represent birds. You know, I just threw that in just so that you can see that there's so much more than that. You can't describe it by that. That's just a natural description. Usually natural descriptions are lacking quite a bit. Okay, three of the four faces were the same, man, lion, and eagle, but where chapter 1 has the face of an ox, Ezekiel 10:14 says the face of a cherub. Okay, hold on to that. You know, in the King James it says, and everyone had four faces. First face was a cherub, second face was man, the third face was a lion, fourth face with the demon. Okay, let's go to Revelation 4:6-10, and then we can talk about it, because then it kind of brings it in there. And I love Revelation's version better than Ezekiel's, but you'll see why. In the center around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second one was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. And I like that too, a flying eagle, not just an eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worships him, who lives forever and ever. So we're going to see that Ezekiel has one order, and there's one that he added to it, and then we'll get to that. But I thought it was interesting. I've always heard about the 24 elders, and I've never really looked up the number 24. The 24 is associated with priesthood. Since it is composed of a multiple of 12, it takes on some of 12's meaning, which is governmental perfection. Right? Okay.
And it's two times, which...
Double portion.
Double portion.
We love that. Woo! Man. Which is God's power and authority, as well as a perfect foundation. We know who the foundation is. The perfect foundation is Jesus Christ. Except in a higher form. 24, therefore, is also connected with the worship of God, especially at the temple. Okay? All right. Now we're to the point where we can kind of just, let's just tear this apart and see if what y'all go.
When you get Revelation 4, what verse did you start on?
Started with verse 4, chapter 4, 6 to 10. Okay. So let's just talk about the two, and just, again, there's so much more to this, and we would be here forever. But I just, since we're talking about cherubs, let's talk about this. In Ezekiel, this is the order that it came in. Cherub, man, lion, and eagle. Okay? In Revelation, the order was changed, plus there's one that's different. Lion, ox, man, and flying eagle. Okay? Now, it's interesting because the first thing that jumped out, what's the first thing that jumped out at this? What's the first thing, as soon as you saw this, Ezekiel's cherub, man, lion, and eagle, Revelation, lion, ox, man, flying eagle. What is the first thing that jumped out at you as far as the order and as far as the beings or whatever you want to call them?
Well, I can say a lot of things.
I know you can.
I don't want to say too much.
Yeah, wait until...
I don't know where you're going.
Anybody exactly have any thoughts on anything that jumped out? I know you've studied this
I
a lot.
I taught on this a lot of years ago. If anybody said Sunday school, they would have heard it.
That's why I wanted to go into this.
He came down. Yeah. I was there, but I don't remember all that.
Yeah. But I'll just tell you what jumped out at me.
What?
In Revelation, it's the Lion of the Tribe of Judah.
Mm-hmm.
He's number one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just the first thing that jumped out of me is Jesus.
Yeah, because that's after Christ.
Can I say this? God is a God of order.
Mm-hmm.
And any time that the order changes, there's a reason that the order changes. And you need to ask the Holy Spirit, and this is exactly how you approach these things. You say, "Lord, why did the order change?" Because he's a God of order.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime he changes the order of something, In the scriptures,
pay attention
and ask God why. Because if you don't ask why, you won't know why. Mm-hmm. You have to ask. You know what? Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And that's why you have to ask questions as you read scripture. But he's a God of order, so anytime the order changes in anything, names or anything like that, begin to question the Lord and say, "Lord, I'm open. I'm not going to go with past experiences or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What are you saying here?" And you'll be sure it will knock your socks off half the time when he tells you what he's talking about. Okay, I'm sorry. I just thought I'd throw that in there because
The order is important. Look at the 12 tribes of Israel.
Very important. That's right.
There's a reason
that the order changed.
Yeah, it all changed because it went the first time that we discussed it was oldest son to the youngest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then it changed as Jesus came on the scene. Mm-hmm. It all changed, just like here. When Jesus comes on the scene, it changes.
Mm-hmm.
Can I say one other thing before you get away from Ezekiel, the first part of Ezekiel? Mm-hmm. He said that he was by the river Chebar and he had visions of God. Mm-hmm. And the word for visions there is the word mirror visions. So when you have mirror visions, guess what? When you look in the mirror, who do you see?
Yourself. Yeah.
Yourself. So all of it that he's seeing is an inner thing. And it's a revelation that God's given him. And you know, you have to, like I say, you have to study some of these things out. Because if you don't, you totally miss them. And you get a definition like came out of that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Talking in the natural.
Yeah, in the natural. That's right. But it's a spiritual thing.
Yeah, it is. That's a great segue into what I was about to say. Yeah. You know, when you're looking at the cherub, man, lion, and eagle, that was a man of God back in that day. And then, and because the cherub is an imaginary figure, if he's an imaginary figure, they didn't know Jesus the way we know Jesus. See, so it was an imaginary, Jesus was an imaginary figure until he came. And now in the book of Revelation, we knew that Jesus was the Lion of the tribe of Judah. We knew that he was the Rose of Sharon. We know all this stuff about Jesus. And guess what? He was first. But in Ezekiel, it's a cherub. It's someone. We think we have an imagination of what God is all about, but we don't know for sure.
Well, he's calling the whole thing a cherub.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, you have to realize that it's all taking place in the imaginary realm. And
because what does a cherub look like? If according
to this, if you read it, the first face was the face of an ox.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the ox and the cherub.
And you know why it was an ox? Because there was a revelation coming that Jesus was going to come to be the servant, not to be served. You don't muzzle the mouth of the ox that treads the corn. So you got to look at other scriptures. He was going to reveal himself first as a servant. He said, I came to serve, not to be served, you know. So that's your ox there, see.
And that's what you're saying is what is so important.
He was going to reveal himself like that first, you know.
It's so important to take what is in the Bible that we know and apply it to this.
Right.
You know, here's the eagle. Those who mount up with wings.
And the way one Lord shall mount up
guess
what?
An eagle. That's a flying eagle. You're mounting up means you're getting ready to fly. You're going, you know. And what is more impressive, an eagle sitting in a tree? That's very impressive. I think it's beautiful.
Yeah.
But what's more impressive, man? An eagle with the wingspan out and catching the thermals and just gracefully going through the air. I mean, you know, and then it's interesting that man is in both of them. Why do you think that is?
Well, if you go in order, if you take the order of it, you know, if you go through Ezekiel and go through the order of what he's saying here, the first one had the face of an ox. It says in King James. And then, let's see.
What are you reading? Which one? Ezekiel?
Ezekiel. I go there first because he's giving you a revelation there. He's revealing this inside of Ezekiel. And Ezekiel, I don't know if Ezekiel actually understood what he was showing.
No, I'm sure.
But it was written for our sake,
you
see, because it was prophetic, you know. And it goes ahead and it tells you that they had the four faces. They had the face of an ox. They had four faces, women. And the first was the face. They had their four faces.
And the likeness of their faces. Ezekiel 10, it doesn't say ox.
No. But
it says cherub.
Cherub. Well, but
and I'm hot. And y'all are.
Yeah.
But if you look at it back here, that meant that God was going to come. He had revelations of God. God was going to come with a servant's heart first. He was going to come with a servant's heart, and then he was going to come with the face of an eagle. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to find it here. I'm not seeing it here.
Ezekiel is cherub, man, lion, and eagle.
Yeah, in Ezekiel, it's really ox, because if you look at the
word cherub
at the King James Version, it's the face of an ox. I'm talking about in Ezekiel.
Yeah, in New King James it says chair.
Yeah, but in the old, in King James it says, right, King James it says ox. That's because Jesus was going to come, the revelation of Jesus was going to come first as a servant. He came to be served, not to serve, not to be served. He came to serve, you know. And then the next one, face of a man. He was going to reveal himself as a man, mm-hmm. Okay? Then he was going to reveal himself as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Mm-hmm. He was the Lion. He was, you know, then he was going to reveal himself as the Eagle. You know, well, we know that the eagle soars in the heavenlies and has tremendous sight. And in other places, he told Israel, I gathered you together like an eagle and took you, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you have to look at all three of those things. That was the first revelation that he was going to bring. That's how he was going to come in the first revelation. Revelations, when he came the second time, he's going to come without sin unto total salvation. He's going to come as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Mm-hmm. When he comes as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, guess what? He's going to break every band. Mm-hmm. He's going to set everything free. He's going to redeem mankind totally. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's two different revelations there, you mm-hmm. know. And you know, when you really, if you really look at it in that sense, that's what he was doing. He was showing himself, and there was four of them. Why was there four of them? Because it's going to cover the four corners of the earth, mm-hmm. you know. And see, he had to do this in your imagination first, because it was going to give you the mind of Christ. The imagination of man, what happened in Genesis was that man's imagination was, he imagined that he couldn't approach God. And his eyes were open to the sensual realm, the five natural senses. That put him into the imagination. That's why the imagination of man is deceitfully wicked and it only does wicked type things. You know what I mean? But the mind of Christ is something different, you know.
That's why he had Moses build the tent of meeting. It was not only God's approach to man, but uh-huh. it was a way that Moses could approach God.
Right.
And he was the man, you know, so man could approach God, God could approach
right.
man in the Holy of Holies, or where the ark.
And like that sermon I gave you guys a few weeks ago, all of those things are types of you. They're types of you. Even the tabernacle in the wilderness is a type of you. The mm-hmm. temple, know you not that you're the temple of God. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a talking about you. And if you come to realize that these things are going on inside of you, and this revelation, when he comes through the sons of God, he's going to come as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And when he comes, and you know, what does the Lion of the tribe of Judah do? He breaks every band. Mm-hmm. And what does he do? He gives to us what? The victory? Again and again and again. He keeps bringing you the victory, you know. And he's going to set mankind free, you know.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
In Ezekiel chapter 1, from verse 5 to verse 10, you're talking about the front, the sides, and the back. Uh-huh. Okay, they, like it says here, like, as for the likeness of their faces, they each had the face of a man in front, and each had the face of a lion on the right side, and the face of an ox on the left side. The four also had the face of an eagle at the back of their heads.
Okay, let me draw you a picture.
Yeah.
If I drawed you a picture of America, mm-hmm. and I turned it like this, okay. Where's the left side?
West.
No, it's east.
You're
east, west,
on the wall?
North, south. Yeah. Right. East. Well, yeah.
If you're on the wall,
yeah.
West.
Well,
is
yeah,
on the
but
left.
But when you look at it, it's mm-hmm. east, west, north, south. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. You know, east would be on your left side. Mm-hmm. So he was going to come in the east. The revelation of him was going to come in the east. what's going to happen eventually is that it's going to cover the whole earth. You know what I'm saying? It's going to go in the four directions. You know, four is the number for the world. Mm-hmm. You know, when you see the number four, four corners of the world. See,
four seasons.
So you have to kind of understand some of these things as you look at them. You know, but you know.
I like what you said, buddy. As far as the line was on the right. Mm-hmm. Who's on the right hand of the Father?
Yeah.
Lion of the tribe of Judah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was on the left?
On the left, ox.
Ox.
He's going to come with the nature of, he was going to show himself with the nature of, you know, a servant. Not, he came to serve, not to be served.
But he did. Know?
Please?
But that's what he did. Is that what you're saying?
He did. Yeah, he came like that. That's right. What he came for. Yeah.
Right.
Because he said that. So he said, I came to serve, not to be served.
Right.
See?
Yeah.
So that's what the ox means.
Right.
Yeah.
The ox was a domesticated animal that
plowed the fields.
Yeah. Did what it was told to do, basically.
And ministry that we do, that's why when you realize that you're kings and priests unto God, ministry that we do, you know, they quote you that scripture, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treads the corn. In other words, you let the ox eat of the corn.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that's saying you supply to the ministry. That's what it's really saying when you get right down to it.
I like what Julie said, the ox plows the field.
He does.
And that's what the Lord did. He went right through our heart, plowed up the ground, planted the seed.
All the fowls, right.
He does.
Yeah.
He plows it, but he also used the ox to gather it, to help gather it. How did they get the flour out of the wheat? They threw it on the ground, and guess what? They brought in the oxes and stuff and let them do what? Walk on it and
separate it.
See? That's the ministry. That's talking about the ministry. And it's a ministry, not, you know, just like ministers today. A lot of these ministers today act like the people are to serve them. That's not what it's all about. They're supposed to be serving the people.
Right. Yes.
You know, now you wouldn't know that when you see where they're living and what they're driving and what they're flying in and what the suits they're wearing and all that. You'd think that they were some royal king in the natural here in the earth. Mm-hmm. And that's the way a lot of them are. But, you know, true ministry is not going to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a ministry that is to serve the people.
Yes.
You know, to serve God's people. And it's going to help tread the wheat, so to speak, to break the chaff off the wheat, you know.
And that's what, you know, Christ did when he washed the feet. When he was washing the feet, yes, and told them that they would not have no part with him. When he was washing the feet, you know, when he had linen around him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and the linen was the type of the high priest. Zadok in the Old Testament wore linen breeches, and everything was to be linen when he went into the Holy of Holies. You know, to minister to the Lord, it was always to be linen.
Mm-hmm.
Why was it linen?
No sweat.
Because it was the no sweat garment. Mm-hmm. It didn't cause sweat. In other words, it wasn't by your own labors; it was by what God had already done.
Mm-hmm.
See, you know, I mean, there's a lot of types of shadows there, but when you see them, it's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing.
It is, and it's just layer after layer. It just never ends.
Did you read Brother Eby's? Not this edition. I got the new one yesterday, but the one before.
Yeah.
Did you read that?
Yeah.
And it takes in the four living creatures.
I know.
Did you read that?
Yeah, I didn't want to.
Yeah.
I wanted to see what everybody else thought. But yeah, it's good. It's great.
Yeah.
And if you have anything to bring out of it right there, go ahead and do it.
All I was going to read was like, the four living creatures are the four faces of God revealed in his power.
Mm-hmm.
The lion,
mm-hmm.
grace, the ox or calf, wisdom. I mean, I might be reading that backwards. Let me see. I think I am. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. God revealed in his power the lion. That's power. Grace is the calf and the ox. Wisdom is the face of man. And exhortation, the flying eagle, the four living creatures are the fourfold nature of God revealed in his dominion.
That's
the power and grace and wisdom, the exaltation of God has been raised up in that earth which we are, as it is in heaven, you will behold the four living creatures within yourself.
So say that last part again.
You will behold the four living creatures within yourself.
Okay, this is what I felt the Lord gave me. It's funny you said that right at this time. Go back to Numbers 7, 8, 9. It says, and when Moses was gone into the tabernacle of the congregation to speak with him, then he heard the voice of one speaking unto him from off the mercy seat that was upon the Ark of Testimony from between the two cherubims, and he spake unto him. Okay? And I just, it's funny because I saw, you know, there's two cherubims. Mm-hmm. And I saw one cherubim, meaning you, and then the other cherubim was everybody that you come in contact, meet them at the mercy seat. Mm-hmm. And if you meet them, and you know they're connected, so two is a number of unity, and they're connected. And so if we could just be unified and have that one spirit, you know, where we're all one, of one spirit.
Joined together,
like the cherubim.
Cherubim were joined together.
Joined together, so that means they were one. Even though they were two figures, they became one once they joined together.
And they were all beaten out of the same one piece of gold.
They were beaten, I love that too. They were beaten out of one piece of gold over the shittim wood, which is corruptible. The incorruption
nature.
Took on, you know, the corruption took on incorruption. And then, man, if we could just meet everybody we come in contact with at the mercy seat.
Yeah.
You know, because that mercy seat is a place of atonement. What does mankind want more than anything? You know, what does mankind want more than anything? They want to be loved.
Love.
Right? I mean, is that what mankind wants, mostly?
Well, see, I think that's what that number four represents, too, is the height, the breadth, the depth, and the length of the love of God. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's going to cover the whole world.
Yeah.
It's going to cover the whole world, so.
But that mercy seat is just so, oh gosh, the golden plate of propitiation on the high priest sprinkled the seat, how many times? Seven times. On the Day of Atonement. I mean, think about that. I mean, that place would look like a slaughterhouse, because if you're taking hyssop and you're sprinkling it, you don't know where it's going, everywhere, and that blood of Christ goes everywhere, and it atones for every. It's not covering sins any longer; it's eliminating sin, you know, and symbolically reconciling Jehovah and His chosen people. The interesting thing here is that root of mercy seat. I told you what the mercy seat was up there, but the root is the word called kafar. And it's H3722. It means to cover, purge, make atonement, make reconciliation, cover over with pitch. You know where I'm going now. Cleanse and disannul. Okay? That's pretty cool. But remember this word, huh?
Is that a commentary or something you read?
No, this is Strong's.
Oh, okay. Strong's,
the root of mercy seat is kafar.
Go up a little bit. Okay.
That's commentary. Well,
okay,
no,
it says that. It's symbolically what it is saying. It is Jehovah and His chosen people,
right?
The cherubim. Now, that's the way I see it. I see it as Christ and His people joined together as one over the mercy seat.
Yeah.
The imagination, I think, that is coming up from the mercy seat, Father God, the omnipotent power, whatever you want to call it, and those imaginations are going up into the Christ and His people.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way that I really perceive that. It is Christ and His people joined in one over the mercy seat.
And we are the Christ on this earth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I'll have to tell you, I've seen it a little bit different than that. I felt like the Lord showed me years ago that it was the nature of Adam and the nature of Christ. and that God was going to appear between those two natures. You know, it was the first Adam and the second Adam. If you read up in, it's up in the 28th chapter, I guess it is, of, I guess it's Ezekiel, where he talks about the anointed cherubim that covereth, and he tells that I can't think of the name right now off the hand, but he tells that it was let me go to it a minute here. Let's see. A little bit different than what you're saying there, because I feel like it's the nature of man, and yet
in the Holy of Holies, the nature of man?
Because you are the Holy of Holies. Yeah. You are the temple of God. All these things are in you. Right. Adam, the nature of Adam is in you until Christ totally takes over in you. And there had to be, it tells you back in Ezekiel that he was, let me get back here. It tells you that it was Tyrus. Tyrus was the anointed cherubim that covereth. And it tells you he was a man. And the word for man there, he was Adam. The man, it's the word named Adam. Okay. And it says, he was perfect in the, you were perfect in the day you were created until iniquity was found in you. Okay, that's talking about man. Now, Jesus was the last Adam. Okay. Between those two natures, the presence of God is going to be revealed as he gives us the mind of Christ and we quit using the imagination, the natural imagination, the five natural senses. Jesus came using the five spiritual senses. Adam used the five natural senses. And between those two natures, it's going to create the very presence of God. Because as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. There's two men in the earth. That's why there was two cherubim. See? That's the way God showed it to me, I feel like.
And man has taken that when it's into iniquity was found in him and made that to be Satan. And you know, they taught that was Satan.
Adam, yeah, it's man, Tyrus.
But they made it to be, that's why they said he was a fallen angel. And
That's where Lucifer, Satan.
See, let me just read this to you, and then you tell me what it says, okay? You have to explain scripture with scripture, you know. Okay, that's the way that you come up with what God's actually saying. It says, "Son of man, take up a lamentation on the on."
Where are you reading it?
This is in Ezekiel 28, starting with verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden. Okay, we know who was in Eden, don't we? Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. This is when man was first created. Mm-hmm. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sardis, sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle. The gold of thy workmanship and thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. And the word for pipes there is a word that means basil. And a basil is what holds something in position. That's what we are. We can hold the things of God, but we're not the things of God. God is the things of God. God is the precious. His precious is in us, see? Mm-hmm. We're the thing that holds it. Okay. And it says here, Thou was prepared in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherubim that covereth. Mm-hmm. Okay? I have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God and walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise thou hast filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Okay? Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty, and thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. Okay? And it tells you there, if you look at what it says, it's talking about Adam. If you study into it a little bit, it's talking about Adam, and Adam was man, original man. Okay, Christ was the second Adam, the last Adam. Okay, so what I'm telling you, what the Lord showed me was the Holy of Holies. It was a type of, he was in there, but he was going to be cast down. And the only way he could be cast down was when the last Adam came, which was Christ. Instead of us functioning out of the imagination, we have to start functioning out of the mind of Christ. The five spiritual senses, not the five natural senses, you know. And that's why in Ezekiel, when it first told about Ezekiel, I'm back there when you were reading about the cherubim, it first mentioned them with a name, with the face of an ox. Well, faces, you know, faces, it's a descriptive of your nature, your character. You know, if I say to you, Pete Rose, right away, you think of somebody who slides in head first and did all the things he did. Or if I say to you, somebody that you know real well, you see their face, you know, in your mind you do. And that's why he was going to show himself first in us with the nature of a servant. He came as a servant. In Revelations, when he comes a second time without sin unto salvation, that's when the total reality of who and what we are in God comes, he's going to come with the face of the Lion of Judah. When he comes with the face of the Lion of Judah, he's going to come that he's going to set creation totally free, all of creation, you know. And that's where every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. And that's the way, I'm just going to tell you the way the Lord showed it to me. That's the way I feel like he showed it to me. Now you can receive it or let it go, whichever you want to do.
And where'd you start reading?
Read the whole chapter. Right. If you read the whole chapter, he'll tell you over here what was wrong with him. And you tell me if this doesn't describe man. Beginning in the first part of 28, mm-hmm. says, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyre, thus saith the Lord God, that because thy heart was lifted up, and thou hast said, I am God. And man tells himself he's God. He don't need God. He's a God by himself. I sit in the seat of God and in the midst of the sea. Yet thou art a man. Thou art, and that's telling you there, thou art Adam and not God. And though thou hast set thy heart as the heart of God, behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that can be hid from thee. With thy wisdom and with thy understanding, thou hast gotten riches. Thou hast gotten gold and silver and treasures. And what is man always trying to get? Gold and silver and treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic, thou hast increased thy riches. Thy increased thy riches, and thy heart was lifted up because of thy riches. And anything that we get, guess what? It wasn't because of our own labor. It's because God allowed us to get it. But we get puffed up thinking we did it. You know, let somebody, if you own something, if you have a nice car, let somebody tell you that car belongs to God. And right away, wait a minute now, I worked years to get that nice Ferrari or whatever it was, you know. And says, by thy great wisdom and thy traffic, thou hast increased thy riches, and thy heart was lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore, thus saith the Lord thy God, because thou hast set thy heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore I will bring strangers upon thee, and the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against thee. And that happened in the natural. But if you take the spiritual aspect of this, because, you know, Tyrus, the place was out in the midst of the sea. It was an island out away from the land. And nobody could get to it. All the enemies couldn't get to it by ship. They had to go by ship to get over there. Well, then some of the, in the natural, some of the, I think it might have been, I'm not sure if it was Alexander the Great, but somebody came in there and conquered it. And what they did, they built a causeway. They kept dumping stuff in the sea till they could get over there and bring that place down in the natural, you know. And what brings us down in the natural but people dumping refuge into our lives, you know. And I mean, you know, you have to go. If you want to understand what cherubim is, read this right here. It tells you. So the scripture tells you. He was the anointed cherubim that covered. He was only one of them, though. So then who was the second one? If he was man, he was Adam. that tells me that the second one has to be Christ, the last Adam. Mm-hmm. See? Now, you know, like I say, I've just had to tell you, that's what the Lord showed me, you know. And I taught on that a lot of years ago, and a lot of people didn't come into the classes, or they would have heard the teaching on that. You know, I didn't get it from Preston Neve, I didn't get it from Ray Prenzing, I didn't get it from any of those guys. I got it from the Lord, you know. I'm just telling you. And I think a lot of, I love Preston Neve, he's an excellent teacher. I think he's great, you know. But, I don't get his papers. I haven't got his papers for years. And the reason I don't get them is not because of anything's wrong with him, but because I felt like the Lord told me, it's time for you to quit getting other people's stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, you know, I felt like he was going to deal with me directly on things. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, like I say, you can receive what I just told you, or you can let it go. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to find out about cherubim, go in other places in Scripture and find where it talks about cherubim. And Ezekiel, he tells you who was the anointed cherub. Mm-hmm. It was Tyrus, or the nature of Tyrus. And Tyrus was a man. He was Adam. You know, so that tells me that if it's Adam, then what was it going to take to restore man over that mercy seat? It was going to take the last Adam on the other side. And it was going to take the blood being poured on the mercy seat. But, you know, like I say,
Lord, yeah, thank God.
Yeah.
Lord, when he reveals them.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Brenda, you want to pray?
Yes. Father, we are so thankful for your word that comes forth, Father. We thank you for the fellowship. We thank you for the revelation of yourself, Father, that you're revealing yourself in us and to us and through us, oh God, and we thank you for it. Be glorified, Father, in all things said and done. And as we go to the next service, Father, you be lifted up. You be glorified. May we just come to worship you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.